Hello, this is Jeff Bellier. Welcome to the Mind Goal Hour. If you've tuned in before, you know we're about goal achievement strategies. If you haven't tuned in before, now you know that we're about goal achievement strategies. And my name is Jeff. My show is about balancing inner and outer work when putting goal achievement strategies together. I'm a certified personal and business coach and a certified hypnotherapist, a PhD in communications, and I take some very traditional approaches to goal achievement strategies in terms of writing down goals and listing our goals and putting timelines. And I like to start each show with PI, which is an acronym for Primary Inner Exploration. And we have 8 pieces of PI, and we talk about that. And then we're on BBS, which is not mainstream radio. We go a little more cosmic. We go to inner work, awareness, levels of consciousness. I offer some approaches to that. I don't do any prescribing necessarily, but I do feel it's critical to balance inner work with outer work. And today we have a guest who will be calling in from India soon, Rajesh Singh, who has published a book. He's the author of Human Species and Beyond. And when we talk about goal setting, long-term and short-term goal setting, Rajesh is going to possibly give you a whole new meaning to long-term. Rajesh was born in India, still lives in India, was born in 56, has a bachelor's degree in humanities, a master's degree in political science from Allahabad University, India. And this is his first book, Human Species and Beyond. His childhood interest in spirituality inspired him to write this book. He's done research in several scientific and religious disciplines, and he's taken from the Upanishads of the East, the Holy Bible, cosmology, quantum physics, and genetics. And his study of these confirmed his belief in the evolution of the human species, and his book combines the idea of science and religion by tying the messages of Scripture to the evolution of mankind. And his hypothesis is that we have not fully evolved, and that the vices in our life stem from our lack of values that are held by the global population. And I don't want to go too far into that.
Your guest is on the line.
He looks to the next stage of human evolution and predicts not only where human existence started, but where it is going, and he is now with us. Hello, Rajesh.
Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks so much for being a guest on our show, and congratulations on your new book, Human Species and Beyond.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, I'm just delighted. I'm really looking forward to where we go. To give you a little background on my show, as I just told our listeners, I talk about goal achievement strategies, and I stress the need for balance of the outer work, the necessary discipline of writing goals and writing them down, and that pays handsome dividends. And then I also talk about the critical need for inner work, and that seems to balance at least with portions of your book that I've just finished reading. And it goes into areas that are way beyond my ken that I had to read and reread and reread, but it was a wonderful experience. I really enjoyed it. And in your book, you say the prosperity of life is not merely material prosperity, but spiritual prosperity as well. And that's where you and I meet, and I don't want to go a whole lot farther with that to confuse our listeners. I'd much rather have you talk about your book and maybe begin just with telling us about the concept behind the book.
Well, human species and beyond is basically about the evolution of human species. And it looks into the prospect of evolution from two angles. One is the scientific angle, and the other is the evidence from the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
As we go through the evidence of the scriptures, we have ample evidence suggesting our futuristic evolution into a supramental state. And there are various verses which have been given in Human Species and Beyond, both from the Upanishadic philosophy of the East and also from the Holy Bible.
Right.
But then what is more important is that it is an effort to fill up a gap of communication between sciences and the religion.
Hello? Hello? I just want to make sure I understood you. You said part of its purpose is to fill in the gap between science and religion?
Purpose of filling up a gap. The gap basically existed in the sense that whatever was being said by sciences in the domain of the psyche of the human beings was not really dealing with the scriptural evidence. This book is an effort to look into the camouflaged expressions of the scriptures and to explain them in a manner that the evidence from the science fits in. And that is where the possible, the element of, credibility sets in. People can read human species and beyond with a certain degree of conviction and realize that whatever is being suggested by the sciences, in fact, is not distant and away from whatever has been given in the scriptures.
Well, that's great news, isn't it? How did you come to write this book? Well, I noticed in your bio that you had a childhood interest in spirituality, and that was really your inspiration. And you, obviously, you have degrees in the humanities and political science, which is kind of surprising when I read your book. And there's so much of cosmology and quantum physics in it. So obviously, you have delved into those disciplines pretty deeply as well.
That is little intriguing. It is intriguing in the sense that I did my post graduation in political science. And I got into the domain of cosmology and quantum physics because I realized that halfway measures won't do. You have to go the whole hog. And I got into cosmology to really, to determine what exactly is the age of planet Earth, what exactly is the age of our cosmic cycle. Unless your answers fit into this wider scheme of life, you can't really, raise questions cogently, and unless you raise your questions and frame them properly, you can't get into proper answers. As we get into cosmology, we get to know that it was around 12 to 14 billion years ago that the cosmological bang took place. And it was 3.5 billion years ago that single cellular consciousness came into existence. And if you can rise up from single cell to human life within a time span of 3.5 billion years, the natural question is, where do we go hence? Because an age of around 8 billion years is still remain for planet Earth to survive before it perishes under the heat of sun. So that is why I got into cosmology. And
okay.
Quantum physics, it's a little intriguing because the two are quite distant, but they are poles apart rather, political science and quantum physics. But the quantum physics, it is this subject which tells us that what meets the eye, in fact, is not the last thing, is not the ultimate. A particle can be seen as a wave, it can also be seen as a tangible body. And then when you begin at the tangibilities of the world as a wavy element, as belonging to a massive whole of oceanic regime, then you realize it is rooted in a bottomless pit, as described in the Holy Bible, which takes you beyond the physicalities to the psychic dimensions of life.
Now, of course, your book, in my very layman's terms, seeks to talk to us about the mechanism of our existence, and you saying that once you begin to know, you begin to grow. I really like that. Can you just expound on that a bit? Because when I read it through, and it was toward the end of the book, as you said, says that you just have to know the mechanism of your existence. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh yeah, that's very interesting. That's very important in our life, because knowing the mechanism of your being, in fact, relates you to the wider operations of nature. We generally have a feeling. We have a segregated view of life. We think we are independent human beings who have nothing to do with something else in life. It is basically a struggle between me versus non-me. You have to go beyond this and to discover that the moment you begin to live in tandem with the larger forces of life, you discover an element of power, the element of power which brings peace in your heart and mind, number one. Secondly, once you realize your body is made in the laboratory of nature over years, then you begin to realize there are certain inherent powers which belong to you by virtue of being a human being, which people are missing out on because of their ignorance.
Rajesh, when you say that living in tandem with life and coming to know inherent powers, what comes to me is I read parallel sort of teachings, and there's a how always in that. I read a lot that this brings us a new sense of joy, a new power, a new sense, and it's certainly been in my personal experience. And when I find my listeners and people who write to me often say, yes, it sounds wonderful and I want to do that, give me a how. What is the mechanism? How do I begin to move into that? I know that you say that, that there's a cosmic rush, if you will, an incoming gush of cosmic energy that will come into our consciousness, and that there is a willful design of the cosmic self, but that there is some effort on our own part. What forms does that effort take? Am I clear on that, Rajesh? My question? How do we come to know that to raise our consciousness to the level that we quote know that we are in tandem with life and not separated?
That is interesting. knowing the mechanism of life, the mechanism of your psychic existence, is the disclosure of a pattern in nature of which we are just a small part. We are minutiae of a much larger canvas of life. The book Human Species and Beyond is an effort to show that you have come into existence over these ages, gradually, piecemeal, and you began with the atomic life, then you got into the molecular life, then the vegetational kingdom, then the reptiles, animality, sapiens, and then the present human species status. Mm-hmm. But then it shows in the process that all our plexi in the body, there are 7 major plexi in human body, and there are 7 stages of life. Now, basically this idea of plexi comes from Eastern philosophy, but Holy Bible also describes 7 stages of evolution in the very first chapter of Genesis.
When you say
life,
that the plexi comes from the Eastern, has a parallel in Eastern, are you talking about chakras, or am I off track there? When you speak of the 7 plexi and the 7 stages, and you said that it has a basis in Eastern philosophy, are you referring to the Hindu, the chakras?
Yes, chakras.
Okay, good.
We are talking about chakras.
Yep.
And so, these 7 chakras. Now, the human species and beyond, it gets into a scientific search for how these chakras are formed over a period of time. And then it says, and here it borrows from the discipline of quantum physics, and it says that we have fields walking, which on the terrestrial plane, they are but the variants of a grand unified field. And there are 7 fields, strong nuclear, weak nuclear, electric, magnetic, space, time, and gravity.
Right.
What the human species shows is that because of the unifying, manifestative presence of these fields on the terrestrial plane, we have an instrumentality which is enveloping the psychic experiences of various genera and species together and putting them at one place, the central depository, which forms up as plexus of your body. So the atomic regime gives you the first plexus, the molecular regime gives you the second, vegetational third, so on and so forth. And therefore, it digresses. Not only digresses, you may say so, it improves upon the Darwinian scheme. Because Darwin fell much short of the desired when he spoke about the interaction between the life systems on the one hand and the environment on the other. But this new scheme is not only talking about an interaction, it is also specifying the agencies which bring you about. And once you begin to know about this biological makeup of your own being, then you realize what forces are at work incidentally to keep you alive, to make you continue even after the interregnum, which you call death, and a mechanism which is much wider than the present life sets into your mind.
And what are our efforts? Now, I understand that we can read this, and you've outlined it in very thorough fashion in your book, in Human Species and Beyond. And What are we to do? Is it a matter of accepting that and just viewing them, learning that as we would learn math or learn rational linear knowledge, or is there another part of that that opens us up to that quote knowing that you use, that we can come to know this? Is there an experiential portion to that?
It's basically, you have to open up. You have to open up to diminish this gap and to wake up to a new amount of consciousness, which comes when you begin to believe. The system of belief, it emerges from our scriptural readings.
Uh-huh.
And when you get into scriptures, you have to read things. You have to read in between the lines. You have to see what is being said, in fact, is merely on the physical plane of life. But there's much deeper meaning to whatever has been said.
Yes.
For example, let us see. Let us talk about the dream of Pharaoh, where he dreams the seven cows coming out of a holy river. And those seven cows are beautiful cows, robust health-wise. Once this bunch sets out, it is followed by another bunch of seven cows. These seven cows, coming later, is ugly, it is gaunt. It eats up the first bunch of seven cows, yet it stays the same meager self.
These are the skinny cows that ate the fat cows.
What Holy Bible is saying is that it is the emergence of seven fields that we now recognize from the domain of quantum physics, which is emerging from the domain of the nominal and entering into the domain of the phenomenal. And the phenomenal fields are enswathed with the presence of a divine field which is walking inside. And it is the divine field which is calling the shots, yet we do not know the phenomenal fields recognized by the sciences and contributing to the formulation of chakras in our body, in fact, is a second kind of a role in the total biological makeup. So what I'm saying is that you can fill up the gap when you read things with that kind of an eye which you get when you begin to believe in things.
Okay, so as you get more and more into your studies, you begin to see the parallels. And that enhanced your belief. Would that be a correct thing to say? That you begin to see that, wait a minute, there, now I begin to see more layers in Pharaoh's dream, in the Bible, in the Upanishads, that I can see another layer that parallels what they're teaching in cosmology and quantum physics, that it enhanced your belief, that's part of your knowing, that it begins with belief and you open up to that, as you were saying. Does that move us to a new level of consciousness individually? I know much of your book is, of course, it's called Human Species and Beyond. Are there, as Jesus was called, forerunners? Are there people who come to this? I mean, for instance, you as the author of Human Species and Beyond, now you have come to beyond merely believing this and seeing the parallels. You obviously have a great passion for this and have put it in a incredibly, certainly for me, a complex model. But it holds together just so thoroughly through the whole thing. Was there a time when you shifted, if you will, when you went from studying this to when it just, like, that the light came on? I know you say we need to break free from both ignorance and enlightenment, but was there a time when your belief shifted to knowing? Was there a specific time, or was it over the gradual course of your research?
Well, research was there, no doubt. But somehow I have a feeling research itself was not enough.
That's what I was feeling from you, yes.
Yeah. Everything contributes, from the mundane trifles to anything which is of significance spiritually. The only thing is that some kind of, interconnection is established. When you begin to see things beyond their, physical appearance,
yes,
then you can read much more, even in the physical events of life, and you begin to realize, you begin to grow in terms of consciousness. It is, as you rightly, pointed out, it is the consciousness, it is the growth of consciousness. One can be spurred into new levels of consciousness through trifles of life or through major activities,
yes,
through ticks and tins, highs and lows, they are irrelevant. What is more important is what quickens up, what quickens you up to the new levels of consciousness.
Yes,
it can come from any side, from any corner. And that is how Human Species and Beyond was written. I began early on, but then there were certain catalyst factors which came in my life, and I began to realize that there is a wider scheme opening up. And once I began to realize that, I began to jot down, and that is where Human Species and Beyond came into existence.
Well, you did a lot of jotting down.
Yeah, sure. In fact, it was much thicker volume, and it was to be reduced to something which was more readable and easy for the readers to understand.
Yeah. Well, because you draw so many parallels, certainly because of my background growing up in the Christian culture, when you spoke of Moses, and you mentioned early on that Moses was conscious of a newfound truth that his forefathers were not. And so that the story of Exodus is not only deliverance of the people, but it's for rising to a new level of consciousness. So that is also obviously the theme of your book, that we are, would you say, predestined? We are destined to rise to a new level of consciousness as a species. But as I said before, and I kind of said it in answer to my own question, there seem to be people, obviously, that, you know, writers of consciousness and levels of consciousness or whatever model they may use, there are people who seem to be, I'm trying to avoid the word teachers because it's really something we have to see on our own, but at least begin to speak of something that may enlighten us, and I mean that in a very literal sense of bring us a greater belief of saying, wait a minute, as I read Singh's book, and I see the parallels. I see how he's drawn from each of these. Wow, that does fit. That does fit. The chakras and the plexi. You know, there's the seven, and there's the seven origins, and you begin to see those parallels. And then there's a shift, almost as if suddenly scripture has a new language to it. You read another layer. You say, wait a minute, this doesn't simply mean, it's not simply talking about people. It seems always or often about consciousness, and that seems to be the teachings of Jesus, that it is about, he talks about our ability as a species, or our destiny as a species, to move to a new level of consciousness. I know, and I'm moving outside of your book a little bit, but I just want to explore this with you a bit, that when I read of different spiritual teachers, of the past masters and even some living teachers, there seems to be something that they share in that. And you seem to be saying it as well, certainly, that there comes a knowing when you begin to see on that level where you're seeing new layers, there comes with it a convincing feeling, if you will, or a sense, a knowing that this is the destiny of humankind, that we are destined to evolve to that supramental level, as you call it, that superconsciousness is where we're moving. And some people, you know, I have a conversation with a lot of people who are in the non-dual camp, and you speak of that in your book, Human Species and Beyond. And so often it's almost as if they're saying, well, we really don't have to do anything because that is where we're moving as a species, and that we don't have to be individually concerned. And you know, then of course they go over into the non-dual speak of there's no us and that sort of thing that I don't want to get into. But you make the point that it's a combination of our own efforts, you know, to be open to the reality of this, as well as the willful design of the cosmic self.
Well, you know, when I say that we are destined to grow into new levels of supramental consciousness, what I mean to say that there's ample evidence that this growth from the mental hood to supramental hood is a foregone conclusion.
Okay, yeah.
In the sense that, you know, there are three levels, dimensions of life, the mental, the vital, and the physical. That is the abiding law from the atomic life to human life. Look at the life of an atom. an atom seeds with life. It has got electrons moving around the nucleus. It has got a physical structure.
Okay.
But then it is a life force. It is buzzing with the activity of the electrons. Then it has a mentality. Mentality of taking certain number of electrons under certain conditions and giving only certain number of electrons in given conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So everything from the very first word go as the cosmology brings into existence particle culture and atoms into existence, they are also, you know, having the same laws ordained for them as operate, obtain in the human life. We do have three dimensions only, the mental, the vital, and the physical. But these are backed up by a psychic force, by a psychic element, which is nothing, as I have stated, in human species and beyond, is the influence of the Agni, the soul, the biased thing, seated in each and every particle of the universe, as said in the Holy Bible. It is the orbital influence of the pious. And it is this which happens to be the psychic character of things. So, this psychic character, if it is manifesting on terrestrial plane from the nominal to the phenomenal world, should be having some purpose. It cannot be without purpose. And then we realize, as we go that into the details from the scriptural evidence, that this has been explained as the element which is trying to chasten itself, to purify itself by becoming self-indulgent on the terrestrial plane. This is the attitude of not this, neti, which is called neti, or not this, you can translate in English. So it is this attitude of not this which purifies that which is unpure. The purification of the unpure comes by your attitude, which is again a psychic force. And this psychic force has been evolving over a period of time, and it exhausts itself at various levels of life, and it is only when it has been fully exhausted that a chakra, as I've shown in my book, a chakra comes into existence. It is a psychic phenomenon, and it is a divine phenomenon. And it has an indicator. The indicator is that if we are here, and if the cosmic expansion is still taking place, there should be some purpose of life. And it is the purpose of bringing into existence a species which can really handle life in a way that impure is done away with, and purity becomes the everlasting phenomenon on the terrestrial plane.
And what would be the manifestation of that in how we deal with each other on Earth, in that evolved state, when we become as a species soul conscious or supramental conscious? We, you know, when the poets speak of and the masters speak of the joy and the peace and the harmony, is world peace, is a peaceful uniting of the human species, if we don't blow the planet up first, part of our destiny, in your view?
Supramental consciousness, in fact, is originally and basically a psychic phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
But this supramental consciousness has a lot to do with your biology, with your physicality. It has a lot to do with your vitality. It has a lot to do with your mentality. You know, supramental consciousness is something which is the consciousness of a period where we shall go beyond space and time. Space and time is not distant and away. Even a particle which exists here and now, it is rooted. It is backed up. It has got a wavy character. And these waves are not merely the immediate waves which we can register here and now. It is not merely the imminent. This regime of waves, in fact, has a backup character which is transcendental. The immediate, the imminent, and the transcendental coexist.
Yes.
These two things are not separate, far and away. They coexist. So, the supramental consciousness will be the consciousness of a human being, which is imminent, which is here and now, yet it is beyond this. It is rooted in the nominal. And it means per changes in your biology also in the times to come, because as we see these days, the science is getting into a direction where a lot many changes are being introduced. You can dispense with certain organs of the body or look for the replacement in case they get into a disorderly state. But then I'm not really, putting emphasis on biological changes. What I'm talking about, in fact, is your advancement into a new level of psychic consciousness, which will mean a greater control over the material circumstances of life, not through appurtenances of science or the tools of, scientific advancement. But do you take help of these things? You will take their help. But basically, you're talking about a growth which is going to be there in the next few millions and billions of years.
I told our listeners before you came on, Rajesh, that you were going to give long-term goals a whole new meaning for them when you talk about millions and billions of years. I really love that you speak of that it's both transcendent and immanent. So often in so many churches down the line that have translated, and I don't want to get in railing against any of the traditions, but so many of them have oppressed the faithful by keeping it only transcendent, by saying, no, that soul is transcendent, that it is not immanent. And I believe the teachings of Jesus were very much that, no, it is both, that he said, I will show you plainly of the Father, that we can know soul, that we will come, and I'm in agreement with you. I hope you're hearing it that way, that I'm really applauding that type of teaching that says it is both transcendent and immanent, because what I do in my show, in my life work, is to say that there is inner and outer work to be done, that we must participate in this life, but that as we come to know more fully who we are, as we are open to that, as you would say, as we're open to that incoming gush of cosmic energy, that we handle life differently, that there's a kindness and a love and a compassion. And I notice that you use heart. I speak often of the mystic heart, that there's a, when we think of people who are very kind and compassionate and loving, we don't say they have a good brain, we say they have a good heart. So the spiritual traditions who speak of that heart, I think that has great meaning for me.
Yeah, you're right. In fact, the cosmic energy is buzzing around us, and we have just to know how to, store this in our biology. And it is our increased amount of consciousness in the ages to come which will facilitate the process of this assimilation. We did two things. More often than not, we feel that whatever is happening around us, that most of the things are trifle. They do not have any significance. But the idea is that nothing is trifle. You have to see things in the right perspective, and you begin to grow in terms of that kind of conscious, cosmic consciousness.
Very nice, very nice. I love that. That's beautiful. That nothing is trifling.
Nothing is trifle.
That's beautiful.
Even one is like these three dimensions of life. Suggest that even on the physical plane, no particle. I was just reading, Frank G. Tipler, The Physics of Immortality, and he says that the shift of a single particle from one point to another is somewhere going to disturb the orbit of planet Earth around Sun in the course of next few billion of years. The only thing is, because of it is because of the blunted state of consciousness that we fail to appreciate the significance of smaller things. But then, anything that comes your way, in fact, is preordained because there was something lacking in some room of our consciousness which wants to fill up. Once you have that kind of interactional result flowing in, then that fills up and your life is richer. The only thing is that, do you have that attitude to assimilate the same or to put that in a dustbin or a trash? No, it is not trash. It doesn't deserve a trash. The only thing is, do you have the attitude, the healthy, positive attitude to respect everything, every moment, every interactor, every actor? That is important in your life.
And how can, what can we do to be open to that attitude? Are there specifics that we can do in terms of what we should read? Certainly your book would be a place to begin, Human Species and Beyond. And what we might do right now, so that listeners, and we don't forget, where can they find your book? Is it on Amazon.com, or is there a place that...
The book is Human Species and Beyond, has been released to Barnes & Noble's, Amazon.com is there, Borders is there, so it is available on these bookstores and Amazon.com.
Okay, good. We're an internet radio, and so people are on their computers right now listening to us. So this is good, hopefully. And I have the book in front of me, and I have a lot of pages folded over and a lot of highlights. And I need to read it probably at least three or four more times to even begin to plumb it on anything but a superficial level. And so I give it a hearty recommendation. It's not light reading. It's not a romance novel. It's not something you're going to plow through in an evening.
Thanks a lot for your appreciation.
Yeah, so
I'm honored.
My pleasure. It requires an openness, but it also requires an attentiveness.
You said something in the mail. Well, that was about how to open up to that consciousness.
Yeah.
I would like to say a word about
Wonderful.
It is only by knowing the mechanism of your being. No other efforts are required. No meditation, no spiritual practices. I'm not decrying anything. It's good. One must meditate. One must go in for spiritual practices.
It's good.
I am saying is that there is something deeper, something more meaningful in life, which must be understood, and it can be understood on scientific lines. The moment you understand that, you become stable in your field, that GUF, G-U-F, Grand Unified Field, which emanates from the cavities of your heart. Mm-hmm. The moment you have that, all else follows. You begin to realize, you begin to feel, you open up to that wider consciousness.
Yes, good. Beautiful. And this is where you and I meet very comfortably, Rajesh, because in my way, I say exactly the same thing in terms of, the very mundane goal achievement strategies. My company is called Mind Goal. My radio show is called The Mind Goal, The Goal of the Mind. Well, the goal of the mind is to evolve, but it's beyond mind. It's outside of mind. And as you said, we're into the beyond the physical, mental, or vital. We're into the psychic element. And when we balance the knowledge of the mechanism, when we look at your book, Human Species and Beyond, when we begin to absorb that and combine it with the inner work, with the transcendental, I say in a meditation, and as you said, you don't decry meditation, you don't necessarily need it, but it is something that's very popular now, and going to that quiet place where we do listen to the heart. What I suggest is going to a quiet place and listening for the wisdom whisper from the heart cavity, listening for that transcendent whisper that will open your mental capacity. It will open you up to seeing the parallels of in the different disciplines that you write about and in the different scripture. And what I found in my case, once I looked outside of my own tradition of Christianity and spent time in a Hindu temple and began to read the Bhagavad Gita and different other sections from the Upanishads and quantum physics, I brought back something to Christianity in a sense that it spoke to me so much more thoroughly, and I saw it in another light entirely. It was as if I had learned a whole new language that the scriptures were speaking, and that's very much what your book speaks of so eloquently.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about a new age. And your approach to
the new age. We have lots of talks about new age, but then we are lacking the kind of, the specific, the footing on which alone this can be raised. We are talking about the new age in a very abstract way. But the new age, in fact, is a new order of human species, because the new age is going to be there because of the deliberately chosen pathways of human life. up to this point of time, you know, we have been guided by the sheltered automaticity of nature. That automaticity worked well for the previous speciatic regimes of life. But now you are in a different phase. You are a human being. You have much grown-up mentals. And now you have to make the choices yourself. And these choices are to be made in a very careful manner so that you don't bring the extinction of the species a day sooner, rather ensure it, a kind of life where it goes into supramentalhood. So it is this which is important for us.
What sort of choices, for some examples, Rajesh, when you say we must be careful of choices we make entering this age?
Yeah. I would give you an example. For example, right now I'm wearing a very good shirt. It is made by the, you know, by a very famous company which is known as Raymond's. Now the kind of smoke which goes into you know, the atmosphere, the stratosphere, it results in the consequential increase of the, you know, the rate of melting of snow on the South Pole is also increasing, and consequentially the sea level is going up and accretion is taking place. The land is being submerged. So while on the one hand, from the angle of you know, a consumer, my life is much better off. I'm consuming life. My life has got luxuries around me. But then on the other hand, I have short perspectives on my mind, the perspectives of, you know, living the life in a way which is going to ensure our extinction rather than helping us in any manner which is, you know, conducive to the well-being of the species.
So environmental consciousness, certainly, on the one hand.
Yes. Nothing is. That is what I want to say. Nothing is, you know, separate and segregated. Everything is interlinked. We have been talking about economic prosperity. All the governments in today's times, whether socialist, democratic, whatever, We are talking about, you know, improving the life conditions of the people. What do we exactly mean by improving the life conditions of the people? The most important thing is that they should have peace in their life.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
You know, human species and being opens its first chapter with those lines about the tyranny of values in human life. We are dominated by values. Early on, we are trained into a psychology where we are competing with each other. It is an attitude of me versus non-me. And ultimately, you exhaust your energies without really spending an iota of a moment to realize, well, who am I? What is it I'm here for? So we have to understand, see life in a holistic way and realize that just talking about success, material prosperity, or anything is not the ultimate definition of life. Before you begin to talk about life being enriched by these kind of, you know, changes, you have to define life. What Socrates did long back, thousands of years ago, where he said, first you have to define life, not this life or that life, but the idea of life is a real life. Do we have the definition in our life? We don't have.
I know, I'm very, very much along that line, Roger. So I teach different classes on achieving success, and I'll often start a class by saying, do you believe that success is the same for everyone? And I get all kinds of head shaking, no, it's very subjective. And I said, so your list is going to be different, and your list is going to be different, and your list is going to be different, and my list is going to be different. So you're saying that success is not the same for everyone, and then I immediately come back and say, no, you're wrong. Success is the same for everyone because You have it upside down. Everything on your list is what you believe will bring you peace, will bring you happiness and contentment. That is the only meaningful definition of success. And I'm affirming what you're saying, that it is about peace. And as a species, as an individual, until we realize that, until we start there and say, what my angst is about is that I don't have peace. And if I think that a bigger car or a new wife or a bigger home or another job or a change of geography is going to give me that peace, I am kidding myself. I need to look on the soul level, on the psychic level, to begin to plumb that and to learn the, as you say, the mechanisms of this life existence, and realize that it is peace that we seek. Am I in line with you on that?
In fact, you know, that is one problem in life. this aspect, in fact, is important. We have, you know, disorderly notes, irreconcilable ideologies on planet Earth, mainly because as anything which is more, you know, unifying is conspicuous by absence. It is not here at all. And the same thing applies to individual human life. We are given to the vagaries of the, you know, cross currents of opinions. We are guided by opinions. But of opinions, there is no end. We have to have something more substantial in life, which begins our, you know, guiding lodestar star. And everybody realizes that this is the ultimate value framework to which we can and should stick, which brings in peace, which brings in evolution, which belongs to the future. And human species and beyond is an effort exactly to do that.
Oh, wonderful. And a great job you do with it. I really enjoyed talking to you. I'm sure we could talk for a long time. I have a few minutes to wrap up my show. I appreciate you, and I know that you were up in the middle of the night in your time when you called me earlier today, and so I appreciate it. And I know you're very early in the morning in India.
It is going to be morning now in the next 1 hour. We started almost midnight, and it was great, you know, nice talking with you, and I really enjoyed being there on your show.
Thank you so much, and I'm going to talk a little more about your book and make sure I reiterate where they can find it, and I'm going to mention that your publicist, Stephanie Mayab, introduced us and sent me a copy of your book. Thanks again so much. I really enjoyed it, and I'm sure I'll have more questions, and I'll either give you a call or drop you a note once I've read your book another 7 times.
So nice of you. Thank you very much.
Okay, Roger.
And I really enjoyed being on your show.
Thank you so much for being on. I appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Bye.
Wow. Well, that was just wonderful. The book is Human Species and Beyond. The author is Rajesh, R-A-J-E-S-H, Singh, S-I-N-G-H. And as he mentioned, his book, Human Species and Beyond, is on all of the online bookstores. His publicist is Stephanie. I may not be pronouncing her name right. I hope I am, Stephanie. It's Mayab, M-A-Y-A-B-B, and she's in Austin, Texas. And information about her company, they design, publish, print, and publicize books. You can find information on her company at www.bookpros, that's B-O-O-K-P-R-O-S, bookpros.com. And I thank you very much for connecting me with several of your authors, and it really gave today's show a tremendous new twist. People who have tuned in before, I hope enjoyed taking this to another level, to another approach on it. I mentioned PI starting in the show and didn't go through the PI, which I'd like to do on every show. So I'm gonna wrap up today. I only have a few minutes left by just reminding you that, as Rajesh said, we are dealing with things both transcendental and immanent, that the balance of the inner and outer work, and we talked very much about the cosmic forces today and the psychic element, the soul element. Don't forget your PI, your primary inner exploration, which is a manifestation in an outward realm, writing down your goals and putting a timeline for their achievement, your ideal goals, and here are the 8 pieces of PI. You can find this PI, you link to it from my website, which is mindgoal.com. Do you have a goal in mind? Mindgoal, MindGoal.com. And if you link to my teachings of the Mystic Heart Meditation, which we usually cover in the show, and I will cover again on many occasions, I just want to cover the 8 pieces of PI. If you keep these in mind and write them down, we talk about, in our goal achievement strategy, we talk about health and fitness, relationships, career satisfaction, sense of self, priority mission, the legacy we want to leave, community, team spirit, and our home and comfort. Those are the 8 pieces of PI. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Next week, I have a very special guest tune in, and I'll put some information up on my show info when you go to BBS Radio or bloginservice.com. Check that out. It's beautiful here. on the coast, on the Gulf Coast of Florida. As I'm sitting down in my living room looking out over the water, I feel like I'm on a houseboat and life is good. And I'll see you next time. This is Jeff Bellier with the Mind Goal Hour. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.